evening's scripture reading is found in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It's 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of Jehovah thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to that which is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that Jehovah may establish his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4.
I know that some of the younger ones are studying in their classes about Solomon. In fact, the teachers may not know, but every once in a while I look in their classrooms to see exactly where they are in their studies, and that's very helpful to me to know what I want to talk about in our studies on Sunday nights. I've been talking about things that I know that the little ones are talking about, and I hope that they might be helpful to you. My goal in that is to help you learn to pay attention to the things that we're talking about in the sermons, as well as to try to reinforce some of the things that you're studying in your classes. As we read in this text regarding King Solomon, King Solomon was instructed by his father David that David is about to die. And he calls upon Solomon to show thyself a man. Now in this context of 1 Kings chapter 2, not only does David tell him that I'm about to die, but he says, be strong, show thyself a man, keep the commandments if you want to prosper. Now that would sound like, on the surface, some very simple instructions that this man David, as great as he was, gives to his young son Solomon. Now, as we think about Solomon, certainly there are things that ought to impress us. As we look at 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, God said to Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. How would you like to have that opportunity? For God to ask you, just name it. Anything you want, just name it. What shall I give to you? And then Solomon said in verse 6, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, My father, great loving kindness, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great loving kindness that thou didst, or hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Jehovah my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this thy great people? You see, Solomon was not a nut to start with. He possessed a degree of wisdom that is seen in his request to God, that God would give him wisdom to judge this great people. But God said, because you have not asked for a long life, then I'll give you that riches for thyself, life, or the life of thine enemies. I'll give thee wisdom, he says in verse 12. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there hath been none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. God said, because you've not asked for all these things, then I'm going to give them to you anyway. Now, I know that you've been studying about the illustration of King Solomon's wisdom, how that two women both had babies, and one of them in the night rolled over on her baby and it died. And she took the living baby from the other woman and claimed that it was hers. Now, this issue became known before King Solomon. And Solomon said, I will resolve the matter, bring a sword, and we'll divide the baby, and we'll give to this woman half of the baby, and we'll give to the other woman the other half. Now in verse 26, Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her heart yearned over her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, It shall neither be mine nor thine, divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Now we're impressed with that. And we say, well, that was a very wise judgment. That's a very positive attribute. When we look at King Solomon, we turn to the next chapter, the fourth chapter of 1 Kings, the fourth chapter, verse 21. And there it tells us that Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines, and unto the border of Egypt they brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. We want to be impressed with that because it tells us in Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 18, the borders of the land that were promised unto Abraham. And it would be from the river Euphrates, the great river, to the land of the Philistines, to the border of Egypt, there of the river of Egypt. And unto the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and the text tells us they brought taxes. They brought tribute to King Solomon all the days of his life. Furthermore, we want to note in the fifth chapter of 1 Kings that it became the responsibility of Solomon to build the temple of the Lord. We note that there were to be trees that were to be brought down all the way from Tyre to the city of Jerusalem to build this great structure. Hiram, the king of Tyre, donated, if you please, those trees to King Solomon. But as we read concerning how they were to be transported, the text tells us, beginning in verse 9, My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon unto the sea, and I will go, or I will make them into rafts to go by the sea unto the place that thou shalt appoint me, and will cause them to be broken up there, and thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish my desire in giving food for my household. So Hiram gave Solomon timber of cedar and timber of fir according to all his desires, and Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household, and 20 measures of pure oil, thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. Now that's interesting to me because these trees, in order to build such a magnificent structure, had to be many in number. How do we get them all the way from Tyre down to the city of Jerusalem? Well, we note that there were over 183,000 skilled craftsmen that built this great structure. But how did they transport the materials? This particular map was helpful to me. When we consider where Tyre is and where it is in relation to Joppa, they made rafts, the text tells us, and they floated them down the coast till they came to the city of Joppa. And there they took them apart and transferred them over land from Joppa over here to Jerusalem. Now this is just a guesstimate on my part, but something in the neighborhood, perhaps, of 70 miles from Tyre to Joppa, maybe about 30 miles over land to the city of Jerusalem thereabouts. Now suppose you had enough materials that would keep over 183 craftsmen busy for 7 years. That's a lot of materials. How would you transport it? You see, as we think about the wealth of Solomon, we have to be impressed with the knowledge and the wisdom of Solomon. But further, as we talk about the wealth of Solomon, turn in your Bible, if you will, and let me go back to this previous chart as we talk about the wealth of Solomon to 1 Kings chapter 10. In 1 Kings chapter 10, where we read of the Queen of Sheba's visit to see if what she has been told is indeed true. In verse 1 it says, And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of Jehovah, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart.
And Solomon told her all the questions, all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of Jehovah, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was true, a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I heard." That's a whole lot, isn't it? That's a great big saying to say, look at all of the things that I've heard, and that's not half of what I've seen. But as we look further at the wealth of King Solomon in the 10th chapter, reading beginning in verse 21, it tells us, "And all the king's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted in the days of Solomon. Everything that he had for his utensils was pure gold. Silver was counted as nothing." Now, Rick, I'm going to pick on you in verse 16 of this text. It tells us, "And King Solomon made 200 bucklers." These were large shields. And it says they were of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went into one buckler. I understand that was in the neighborhood of about 17 and a half pounds. If you want a general idea of about how much that was worth, you ask Rick. 17 and a half pounds of pure gold. And that's just for one. That's a lot of gold. Now, when you consider how much gold that Solomon had, and when you consider that silver was counted nothing, in verse 27 it says, "The king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones." Like stones in the field or cobblestones in the street. That's what silver was like. Gold and silver had a lot of it, didn't he? And as we think further, of such a wise man, they had the ability to accumulate such great wealth, and such a wise man who had the ability to answer every hard question that the Queen of Sheba could ask and had the wisdom to settle this matter of the infant that the two women were fighting over. Let me ask you a question. If you had the opportunity to ask somebody a question, can you think of anybody better qualified than Solomon, save the Lord? Wouldn't you want to ask somebody like Solomon who had such great wisdom? Well, what would Solomon tell us if he had the opportunity to speak to us? Well, he does in the writings of the Proverbs and in the writings of the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to spend just a little bit of our time looking in those texts. Number one, Solomon would say, "Take heed to your counselors." Very simply, you be careful who you listen to. You fear God. In Proverbs chapter 1, In Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, the text tells us, "The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction." You be careful who you listen to. You listen to those who are wise. In Proverbs chapter 9, in verse 10, and we're simply going to look at several of these passages. It says, "The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. Don't you want to listen to God when He speaks? In Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 27, again the wisdom writer says, in verse 27, "The fear of Jehovah prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." When Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, after experiencing everything that his heart desired, considering the wealth that he had to provide anything that he desired, the wisdom that he had to make hard judgments, after he considers it all, having experienced anything that he wanted. He said, the whole of life is this. It's what it's all about. To fear God and keep his commandments. Now that's why you're here. That's the purpose of life. So why would you want to listen to anybody else? Fear God and keep his commandments. You see, Solomon has said, let the word of God be your counselor. But young people, listen carefully. When you're taking heed to who you listen to, Solomon would have you to listen to the wise counsel of your parents. Now, generally true, the counsel of parents is something you want to listen to. That's not 100% true. We understand that. But a proverb is a general truth. You need to listen to your parents. In Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 8, the wisdom writer said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be a chaplet of grace unto thine head, and chains about thy neck. You listen to your parents. It'll be like a gold necklace around your neck. Listen to what they have to say. Why? In Proverbs chapter 6, he said, beginning in verse 20, my son, keep the commandment of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. Why? Why would you want to listen to your parents? Well, number one, hopefully they've traveled a little bit farther down the road than you have. And hopefully they've gained a little bit of experience and wisdom from their travels. But one of the reasons you want to listen to them is nobody is more concerned about you in this life than they are. They love you. And they want to make things good for you and want you to make good decisions. Now that's what Solomon is saying. You listen to your father. You listen to your mother. Take heed to your counselors. Who should you be careful of listening to? Those who are evil. Evil companions, you don't want them telling you what to do. Turn back to Proverbs 1 once again. In Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, the writer said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as Sheol and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Thou shalt cast thy lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird, and these lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. It taketh away the life of the owner thereof. If somebody's doing wrong things, and they invite you to participate with them in that, this wise man says, don't you follow them. Now, isn't that simple? In our minds, we can see that, can't we? We can see somebody that we would like to be friends with, somebody that we would like to have their approval, and we see them doing bad things and inviting us to participate with them, and it will destroy us. So you don't listen to those who would entice you to do evil. Furthermore, in the 13th chapter of this text, reading beginning in verse 20, chapter 13, verse 20, the writer says, walk with wise men, and thou shalt be wise. But the companion of fools shall smart for it. Now that's the reading of the American Standard Translation. However, there is a footnote that says, but the companion of fools shall be broken. Now you want to do what's right, you don't run with fools. Now why not? The New Testament tells us, be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Now we're certain of that. We've looked at the passage. We know what it said. Take heed. The warning is to those who want to do good. And we say, oh, but I can run with him and I'll change him. Now the proverb said, don't do that. You very well might, but the possibility is slim. Don't do that. The warning is evil companions will corrupt you. Now you take heed. You take heed to who you listen to. But lesson number two, you take heed of what your goals are. All of us have things that we want to accomplish. But sometimes we get our priorities in the wrong order. The wisdom writer said, seek wisdom and understanding. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding, yea, if thou cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and search for her search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Jehovah and find knowledge of God. For Jehovah giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What's his point? You seek for wisdom. You seek it like you would silver or some riches. It will protect you from the evil man or the evil woman. It will make you happy. Now there's a thought. It will make you happy. What will? Seeking wisdom and understanding. You see, Solomon's father, David, told Solomon that wisdom is the principal thing in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 7. Solomon writes, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, yea, with all thy getting, get understanding. Try to be smart in the decisions that you make. Now why? Well, if godly wisdom guides your life, then the writer says you'll be successful. You'll be happy. What else are we to do? Acknowledge God's role in your life. When we talk about the promises of God, one of the things that we want to note is in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, the text tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. You believe that's so? Well, certainly it is. Trust Him with all your heart. Fear Him and honor Him even with the things that you possess. In verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. It will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy vats shall overflow with new wine. Do you believe that so? You serve God with what you have, and will you go hungry? No. Accept His chastisements in life. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of Jehovah, neither be weary of His reproof. For whom Jehovah loveth, He reproveth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Well, we read that and studied it in Hebrews chapter 12. But as we think of bad things sometimes happening to good people, we think, why me? And we feel sorry for ourselves and say, that's not fair. Well, no, it isn't. But life isn't fair. But one of the things that is hard for us to accept is that even though we try to do right things, sometimes there are bad things that happen to us and things we can't fix. Now, what do you do with it? Here's a hard lesson. Hard lesson for all of us, including me. When you can't fix it, what do you do about it? The wisdom writer said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. You can't always fix it. Now, what do you do with it? Well, do we learn to accept these things and the lessons that they provide for us? That's hard for us, beloved. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 25, the writer says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For Jehovah will be thy confidence and will keep thy foot from being taken. Trust in the Lord, once again, he tells us. We can be confident in what he says. We can know that's right. Well, why is that important to us? Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then you can sit and wring your hands about the necessities of life. No, that's not what it says. Seek the kingdom of God first, and these things, speaking of the temporal necessities of life, shall be added to you. Now, sometimes that's a hard thing for us to accept. Take heed, lesson number three, to your relationships. You know, sometimes we just want to involve ourselves in things that we ought to stay away from. And there's danger in that. In Proverbs chapter 5, reading in verse 1, look carefully. It says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, incline thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest preserve discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge, for the lips of a strange woman drop honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on Sheol, so that she findeth not the level path of life. Her ways are unstable, and she knoweth it not." Now I would challenge you to read the context of that. He's talking about a woman who's not very nice. And he's saying, be careful. You stay away from her. Don't allow her to entice you, because she'll destroy you. Now, it may seem nice at first. Her lips might seem like honey. But you be careful, because she'll destroy you. She'll destroy your reputation. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 23, the writer said, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the foreigner's tongue. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress hunteth for the precious life." Now, you read verse 27 and you see the danger there. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk upon hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Now you look carefully at it. There's danger. And the writer is saying, here is the truth. You involve yourself in this kind of relationship, and there is danger. Look in the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 1. He said, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tablets of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinsman. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the foreigner that flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked forth through my lattice, and I beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way into her house in the twilight, in the evening of the day, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness, and behold, there met him a woman." Not just any woman, but it tells us a woman that had on the attire of a harlot. One that was wily of heart. One that was clamorous and willful. Her feet abideth not in her house. She is in the streets, now in the broad places, and lieth in wait at every corner. She caught him and kissed him. Now we might be flattered with that, huh? But look at what this young man is doing. He's not too bright. The text tells us that he's void of understanding. He's one of the simple ones. He doesn't understand the danger of what he's doing. He goes to this woman's neighborhood. He passes by her house in the wrong time of the night. And he goes repeatedly, time after time after time. And you see that his trips last through the night. Now you talk about being flattered. Here this woman comes to him and she says, "I paid my vows. The sacrifices and peace offerings are with me. You look at how religious I am. I am a good person." But look further. She says to him, verse 15, "Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." Here's a woman that's wearing the attire of a harlot. She's very beautiful to this young man, very satisfying to his eyes. And she says, "I am a religious woman. I've been looking for somebody just like you." Would that impress you? Look at what else she says. "I have spread my couch with carpets of tapestry, with striped cloths of the yarn of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love." You talk about temptation, it's real. This young, foolish man, lacking understanding, is a very eager participant. He has an objection, but she anticipates the objection. What if the husband arrives? She said, oh, but my husband's not home. He's gone on a journey. He's taken a large bag of money. He won't be back for a while. She's removed his objection. But look at the wisdom writer's application. In verse 24, now therefore, my sons, hearken unto me, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, all her slain are a mighty host. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. You want to be that young foolish man and reap the consequences of his participation with this evil woman? Now, this wise man said, you need to take care. Now, why is that so important? What do you think this one act is going to do to the rest of this young man's life? It's going to change him forever. He'll never be the same young man. Now, you look at that. Where do you learn that? Of all people, you learn that from Solomon. A man who had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Would you listen to a man who's telling you that? Who's had that kind of experiences in his life? Look at number 3. Take heed to your relationships. Love your wife. Notice, it's not plural. Love your wife. In Proverbs chapter 5, he says, beginning in verse 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well, should thy springs be dispersed abroad and streams of water in the streets, let them be for thyself alone and not for strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of thy youth. You know who that is, by the way? That's the first one. That's the first one. The wife of thy youth. As a loving hind and a pleasant doe, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. That word, ravished, by the way, simply means to be intoxicated with her love. Do you see the beautiful relationship here of a young man and a young woman who enjoy the blessedness of marriage? Wonderful relationship. Solomon describes it here. A man who had 700 wives and 300 concubines. You think he knows what he's talking about? You see, the Lord knows those who are not satisfied with that. In Proverbs chapter 5, in verse 20, the writer said, for why shouldest thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of man are before the eyes of Jehovah, and he maketh level all his paths. His own iniquities shall take the wicked, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. You want to be a fool? Then just look elsewhere. Again, the wisdom writer said, live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. You know who that is? That's the first one. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse 9. Now, why is that so important to you? The Hebrew writer said, let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And at the risk of being improper, I'm going to say this to you. When the Hebrew writer is talking about the marriage, or the marriage bed, be had in honor. And then when he speaks of fornication and adulterers being a defilement of that, the writer is not talking about separate acts. He's talking about different relationships. Do we see that? In marriage, it's right. Outside of marriage, it's wrong. God calls it honorable in marriage. Outside of marriage, He calls it something that's condemned. Do you see that? You want to ruin your life? Look at this. You want to have an honorable life? Look at this. Love your wife. You want to listen to this wise man? Take heed to your character. Don't be lazy. This wise man says in Proverbs chapter 6, reading beginning in verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. which having no chief, overseer, or ruler, provideth her bread in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as a robber, and thy want as an armed man. Now that draws a picture of some of us, doesn't it? We like to sleep. We like to sleep all the time. We sleep for pleasure. We enjoy sleeping. There's a time to sleep. There's a time to work. Now this writer says, think about the ant. The ant works. The ant works. You see, his point is that during the time of summer, she provides bread. During the time of harvest, she gathers up food. Now what happens to her in the wintertime? She's got what she needs to eat. Why? Because she worked when it was time to work. You see that repeated time and time again. I don't know that my dad knew that Lamentation 3 was even in the Bible. The text says it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. One of the earliest things that I can possibly remember working on the farm was picking up rocks. Well, anybody can do that. Rocks are plentiful. In Kentucky, that is. And you can just walk through the field and pick up rocks. You don't have to be very old to do that. But you're learning something. You're learning to work. The wisdom writer said in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Caitlin can tell you that one thing you don't say around our house, and you certainly didn't say as I was growing up, is, I'm bored. Somebody told me a long time ago that it's a mighty foolish father that can't find enough things to keep his kids busy. Well, the point is, learn to work. Don't be lazy. Always something to do. Well, why? Because we need to learn to be industrious. The New Testament tells us, owe no man anything. Very simply put, pay your bills. Do what you say you will do. And in order to do that, friend, you have to work. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 10, a lot of people would be a lot better off if that were obeyed. If a man won't work, neither let him eat. Wouldn't that be a motivation to a lot of folks? Indeed, beloved. Solomon continues to tell us, know what's wrong. Learn what an abomination is. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, the writer said, there are six things which Jehovah hateth, yea, seven which are an abomination unto him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked purposes, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that uttereth lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates that. That's an abomination unto God. And you know, certain elements, even that we might consider to be worship, can become an abomination unto the Lord. For example, in Proverbs chapter 28, the wisdom writer describes a rebellious man who prays to God. A man who prays to God while continuing to rebel against his will. The Lord says, that's an abomination. We need to learn what wrong is. Now, why is that so important? It's important that we know what pleases God. Randy, here's your text. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. He points out that there will be many in that day who will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in thy name, prophesy in thy name, do many mighty works in thy name? Here are folks who thought that the things that they were doing in honor unto God were by His authority. And He said, depart from me, I never knew you. These things were works of abomination. Well, what do we want to learn? We want to learn from this wise man to take heed to our counselors. Who do you listen to? We want to learn from this wise man what our priorities ought to be. Because you see, that determines what you do. We need to learn from this wise man who we need to form relationships with. And in particular, who will you love? Young people, listen carefully. Two important decisions, most important decisions you will ever make in this life. Number one, are you listening? Whether or not you will serve the Lord. Most important decision you'll ever make. Number two, who you marry. Number two. You know why? Because often number two determines your faithfulness to number one. Now you mark that in your date book. Why do you want to listen to Solomon? Because Solomon is talking to you about the relationships that you form. Why do I want to listen to Solomon? Because Solomon is talking to you about your character, what you become, who you are. And that has some identifiable qualities. Now there's a whole lot that we could say about Solomon that we haven't said tonight. We could talk about some of these lessons that he didn't learn. But he was right in teaching them. And we need to listen to what he says. Now when David said to Solomon, "Show thyself a man. Be strong. Obey the commands of God." Now friend, that sums it up. That's what Solomon was to learn. And that's what Solomon's trying to teach you in the book of Proverbs. If you've listened carefully to what I wanted to talk with you about. A lot more we could say, but that's enough for tonight. But perhaps I'm talking to someone who needs to obey the gospel, become a Christian. You won't ever think of anything more important. If you can do that tonight, then we would encourage you to do that. If it's your desire, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, it's your determination to turn from sin, to confess your faith, we'll baptize you into Christ tonight. And you can leave the building a Christian. But if you've done that and not lived faithfully, then you're not listening to the lesson tonight. You're not listening to the wise words of this man. You need to continue to be faithful. If we can help you to get your life right tonight, make it known by coming to the front while we stand and sing this song, verse.